So, but once those pads come on, Tevin Jenkins is a son of a bitch.
Kieran. Kieran. Oh, that was good.
The Bears offense is just like Tony's Wi-Fi, which is struggling.
I wake up, flex, I'm down that check, no drip this.
Welcome back to the Irish Bear Show. As Auntie's dancing away there, there's going to be a lot of to talk about today. We are going to be joined by Adam Johns in just a couple of minutes here. Really, we're starting this kind of series on the channel over kind of the next couple of months with a lot of decisions that have to be made. And we've kind of called it Building the Bears, and it's going to be different sections of it. So today is kind of that introduction part where we've spoken about kind of the offensive coordinator. Obviously, there's more news that has come out about that over the last couple of days, but also, I guess, the initial feelings that people have along the lines of which quarterback that the Bears should be bringing in and stuff like that. Later on into the offseason, we'll talk about kind of free agency and then obviously the draft and round it all off at the end of the offseason and seeing how it all went versus kind of what we said here. But look, before we get started, I just wanted to ask you guys, how are you guys doing? Everybody in the chat, how was your week? Are you excited about some of the names that you've heard? We'll be getting into that all today, but I guess, Aunt Noel, how are you guys doing?
I'm good, my man. I'm good. I'm still in Ennis getting my mammy's dinner. So all three of us are in Ireland at the same time, which is almost fantastic. Noel, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Getting ready to dive into all this bear stuff. I mean, it's another off season that we'll say is the most important off season ever.
Correct.
We'll see how this one goes.
And I love the fact there's no more football. The football has ended. There's no more. Like, there's no Super Bowl this year. There's no playoffs. It's just gone straight to the free agency.
They cancelled it all, right?
Yeah, I thought so. All right.
It's all been cancelled. It was a funny weekend last weekend because I just got to see like different fan bases going crazy, and normally that's us every week, so
if we're going to talk about that, I gotta feel my guy Irish Cowboys, he's on Twitter, really one of the good guys. I felt for him because that was a proper choke. That's a proper like collapse on the highest scale at the highest moment. And the worst part of it, and again, he's a really nice guy, the worst part about it, he predicted it the day before. He predicted
They're well used to it. Cowboys, they generally look so good in the regular season, and then in the preseason or in the off season. God, I can't even think.
When it was their preseason, it seemed like it.
Pre-season, yeah. They wish it was the preseason they played like that. No, but that's the Cowboys. Yeah.
How did they give McCarthy a new deal after that? Not a new deal, but how do they keep him on after that? That's what, 2 years whenever they play the Packers? Packers have won more playoffs in their stadium than they have. That's horrendous.
Especially given the head coach candidates that are floating about at the moment. You would have thought, you know...
Belichick! How is Belichick not in Dallas?
How does that work? Jerry Jones and Belichick, though.
Be great crack! Imagine that! Be amazing!
That would be interesting.
I was convinced that's what was going to happen when... Especially after seeing what happened to Dallas, I was convinced that it was going to be Belichick was going to Dallas, and everything that we kind of heard in previous years about them wanting to bring him there. And then at the end of the day, they kind of crapped the bed when it mattered most. But with that said, let's go into more Bears talk rather than the playoffs from last week, because we can have a bit of fun to that later. We're going to introduce Adam Johns to the show. Adam, how are you doing? It's a busy week for you, it seems like, every single week at this point. But the Bears haven't made it easy. They've interviewed 9 candidates, and we have no idea where they're going. So how has it been? Are you enjoying the first week of technically the off-season here?
No, you can't call it the off-season. Or coaches like John Fox will give you a hard time because there's football still being played. You're just talking about the playoffs.
No, there's not. No, it's gone. It's gone. Yeah. There's no more football. It's gone.
It's over here. It's over here. but I'll still watch whatever's on Sunday. I'm looking forward to this weekend. An offensive coordinator search. The Bears, to my understanding, are currently in California, which is a lot warmer than Chicago is right now, talking to Cliff Kingsbury. So maybe they, you know, wanted to get away for a little bit because it is 15 degrees here in Chicago. But yes, of course, Kingsbury is like the biggest name of all for obvious reasons so far on that list of nine candidates that you have.
On that, and it makes it interesting because obviously we've seen like a very common theme for a lot of the nine candidates. A lot of them were under Sean McVay with the LA Rams. And then you hear Cliff Kingsbury and everybody's ears perks up because he worked with USC this year, where obviously there's a certain quarterback that we'll get into. But what was your kind of initial thoughts when you heard that first, that they were going to LA to go and meet with Cliff Kingsbury, especially after seeing the other types of candidates that they've looked at, in terms of, I know maybe an hour beforehand it was reported that Zach Robinson from LA was one of the guys as well. But what was your initial thoughts when you heard the name?
I just like the process. It makes complete sense, right? He was on my list of potential candidates, potential, you know, coaches to look at for, you know, replacing Luke Getsy, because the obvious connection with Caleb Williams, if you have the first pick to go on this fact finding mission, which includes talking to like one of his potential coaches, even if you don't hire him, you're enhancing your own draft process right now, you know, without it really like before the combine. Like, that's something important. I just like the process that the Bears are going through. It's interviewing not only extensions of that Kubiak, sorry, the Shanahan McVay tree. I guess you could call it the Kubiak tree because it goes all the way back to him. But you know what I mean? Like, I like the process. I like talking to Greg Roman because I remember last year covering this when the Bears changed up their offense. Luke Getsy referenced using Greg Roman strategies from the Baltimore Ravens. So to have all of this different types of information, whether that means sticking with Justin Fields, finding better answers for him, or getting more information on Caleb Williams, I love it. I love it. It's a great process to be involved in, just in terms of gathering information, you know, finding potential staff members beyond OC. I like it all.
And sorry, Adam, just looking at the guys they have in, there obviously are a few guys who have experience of play calling and some that don't. Now, when we look at the Luke Getsy hire, you know, there was a bit of problems, you know, or people are a bit upset that, you know, he didn't have experience. He was coming in with Justin Fields and you kind of wanted that more experienced hand to guide that young quarterback. Do you think the Bears are factoring that in this search now? Do you think if, for example, they take a Caleb Williams, that they may not look at the guys with less play calling experience? They may look at more experienced ones. And as you say, then maybe some of those other guys could be brought in different roles. Do you think that's kind of the way they're looking at it? Or do you not think it'll matter if they just see their guy experienced calling plays or not, that will be their guy?
Yeah, you know, I said this on Hogan John's, like, to me, there has to be a prerequisite of calling plays. It has to be on the coach's resume. It actually has to be. Kingsbury has it. Shane Waldron has it. Clint Kubiak has it. Like, you want that as part of your next play caller because you saw how things played out, not only with Luke Getsy, but this goes all the way back to Matt Nagy figuring things out with Mitch Trubisky. Then, you know, then with Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, like, he didn't have a lot of experience calling plays and him by himself, you know, apart from Andy Reid. So to have years of experience, and I know Kubiak only has one, but to have like that background, something where Matt Eberflus can bounce ideas and strategy and tell you how he's going to attack you defensively, and you have answers for that, like, that's invaluable to me. Like, Luke Getsy, despite his college experience calling plays, like, he didn't have that at all. That was all Matt LaFleur's show up there, Mike McCarthy's before that. So to me, you got to have play calling experience on your resume if you're going to be the Bears play caller for Caleb Williams or Justin Fields. That has to be a prerequisite. That has to be different this time around.
But also, Adam, around the process itself, and what's really impressed me, and you mentioned it there, was about how Ryan Poles has approached this, and that it's not just, okay, it's a week within the season's over, let's get our OC in there that we like, or someone that the coaches have worked with before, or someone that's like already there that we just plug him in and off he goes. Because it goes back to the interview he said at the end of the season where he actually asked and said, I want to ask these OC candidates what they would do with all types of quarterbacks. From a process perspective, you've been working the Bears quite a long time. From a process perspective, is this the best process you've seen and how they've hired an OC?
Yeah, well, it's definitely better than the one that resulted in Luke Getsy, because that was almost instantaneous. I want to say that was less than 72 hours after Matt Eberflus got the job. Luke Getsy got that job. That tells me that Luke Getsy came up within those interview conversations from the get-go. Like, his name was one that Matt Eberflus brought to the table in his own interview. What always bothered me about the Matt Nagy era is how he brought nobody with him from Kansas City. Yeah. Like, nobody. Like, I think one reason why you see Matt Eberflus's defense, like, find itself this year in terms of, like, young players developing and whatnot, it's because his staff came with them from Indianapolis. Like, there was a connection there. They're speaking the same language. I remember doing stories on Matt Nagy where he's teaching Mark Helfrich, Harry Hiestand, his system, what he wants to do, his language. Like, that seems to set everything back. And I get, like, different – like, there's different reasons for that. You know, maybe Andy Reid protected some of those coaches. But that always bothered me about the Matt Nagy era, just in terms of it was just himself coming from Kansas City. And then you go back to Jay Cutler, and they kept changing coordinator after coordinator after coordinator. We could go on and on and about the names. But just in terms of, like, the previous regimes, like, I think that's what stands out to me. One, that Matt Nagy brought nobody with him from Kansas City. And two, like, Luke Getsy seemed to be a name at the table from the get-go for Matt Eberflus.
And then when you look at that for – this hiring process, because like we mentioned, there's a lot of guys that are around kind of the same realm, have been either under the McVay tree or have kind of worked together at different instances. Whoever gets appointed the offensive coordinator, would you like to see then guys of a similar stature kind of coming up in the same tree also get added to this staff, rather than seeing, like you mentioned, the offensive coordinator is this and the quarterback coach hasn't really been in that system before? Really, you mentioned it with the defensive side. They all work in unison, and that's how they got better. And I think as a Bears fan, a lot of people are hoping that can happen with the offense, that whoever the OC is can kind of take with it and run their system, but also have coaches underneath that can help him as well. Because you know yourself how much work it goes into being an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, and they really do need those extra coaches. And I actually said that was one thing I was happy with Eberflus this year, because it can't be easy being the head coach but actually being the de facto defensive coordinator as well. So what is it, no matter who kind of comes in this OC role, what do you want to see the Bears do after that in terms of actually building that offensive staff? Do you think it's really important that they keep trying to add from the same tree?
Yes, 100%. I think, you know, they actually did that defensively with Phil Snow when Matt Eberflus took over defensive play calling. They did that with Phil Snow. Eberflus is on record saying that one reason why Snow stood out above all the rest in terms of the candidates for that position is because he knew the scheme. He had coached under Rod Marinelli. He had run the similar scheme in Carolina. So there was continuity there. Like, he didn't have to be taught the language, again, like Mark Helfrich was years ago. Like, I do like the idea of bringing in, like, different ideas, but if you look at, like, that could still come, like, from within. You know what I'm talking about? Like, so let me just throw out, like, for example, let's say Shane Waldron becomes the offensive coordinator. Like, probably will bring Greg Olsen with him, who has a range of different experiences. You know, maybe he can handle tight ends. No, I'm kidding. No, quarterbacks. You know, not that Greg Olsen. But then maybe you hire, like, Thomas Brown, you know, who just had his 1 year of experience in Carolina, you know. Getting background from him and what went wrong with Bryce Young could be invaluable for you if you're trying to decide what to do with quarterback with taking one first overall. But then he has such a running back history, right? He has it there. Then he has it, you know, again, in the Sean McVay tree. He has a bunch of it in college. So maybe he could become like your running game coordinator, more than a running backs coach, maybe your running game coordinator. But he could probably bring different ideas the table, you know, having learned under Frank Reich. So I like the idea of having multiple voices from the same scheme, like in different positions, as different position coaches. I think the Bears are really trying to do that. But like my hope would be that like maybe a Thomas Brown could add something else. Like maybe a Marcus Brady could add something else as a quarterback coach or a passing game coordinator that wasn't there before. You know, even though they all kind of speak the same language per se in terms of offensive strategy. Although I think Brady, for this example, doesn't have, you know, the ties to the McVay Shanahan tree.
And sorry, Adam, looking at the group, obviously there's nine guys in there and there's it looks like a good group. And as you say, the process looks like it's been a good one. One thing people kept kind of saying, you know, from the end of the season until this kind of started was, oh, no, Flus is on the hot seat. The Bears, you know, nobody's going to want to take this job because they're not going to know 12 months down the road if they're all going to be fired again or what. I mean, do you think in any way that's played in terms of people they were looking for? And also, do you think it's being kind of overblown how hot Flus's seat really is? And maybe from the outside, it kind of looks hot to some people, but from the Bears themselves, they actually are happy with the kind of progress from year one to year two. And they don't think that at all that an OC is going to be put off by Flus being there because he's really, they look at him as being there long term more than we kind of think.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some concern, some questions that have come up in those conversations when they have the back and forth about the longevity of the Matt Eberflus era. I mean, I would have that concern if I'm a hot name offensive coordinator, like what's next for the coach? Cause you hear things publicly in the media, even if they're not true. So you want some assurances from, well, Kevin Ward, from Ryan Poles. I would like to look at this as like a 2-3 year window here in a sense for Matt Eberflus. I know he's got 2 years left on his contract, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if they add a year, you know, it will take some success, but to have that level of continuity, because I think Ryan Poles really likes him that much. And I think that might help, you know, appeal, make them more appealing to some candidates. But if I'm being honest, like if I'm an offensive coordinator, like I look at what happened in, you know, Houston with Bobby Sloan, right? He becomes the offensive coordinator their first time, right? They get C.J. Stroud, and his work with C.J. Stroud has now made him a head coaching candidate. Like, if you have those aspirations to be a head coaching candidate, fixing Justin Fields, I don't even want to call it fixing, like maximizing Justin Fields' talents and, like, elevating his game to another level, like, that would make you appealing every single team, you know, that has a head coaching vacancy come 2025. It's taking Caleb Williams. Say they pass on Fields and they take Williams, right? If things work out with Williams, guess what? You're going to be a head coaching candidate just like Bobby Sloak is this year. Like, that in itself would be appealing to me. That situation, whether it's working with Fields or Caleb Williams or even Drake May, like, that itself would be appealing to me as a play caller, as an offensive, you know, scheme designer and so many things, just as a coach who has aspirations of running his own show. Like, that is an amazing opportunity that you have to really get your name out there, to show off how good of a coach you are. Like, that in itself makes the Bears appealing, in my opinion.
Does that mean, though, then, that if you're the Bears looking at that, and I understand your point and I agree with you, even though the fact you said that you think Eberflus might be here for 2 or 3 years makes me cry, but outside of that, it's okay. I have a dislike for our current head coach, but that's okay.
And you're a Bears fan. You're used to crying.
Oh, I've got no hair. I've got no hair, man. I'm 5'3". I've no hair. I'm well used to it. Well used to it. But does that mean then, from a Bears perspective, that I agree that the coach will come in looking potentially at a head coaching job in 2 years? Should the Bears then look at something that almost comes from within then? So they're hiring their head coach, but they're hiring somebody, let's say, in another position that they feel in 12 months time will be able to sit into that slot. Because my worry would be that if we take Justin Fields or we take Caleb Williams, that in 12 months time we're going to get a new offensive coordinator coming in, and suddenly everything, that the danger that creates. So if you're the Bears, is this part of the conversation where they're looking at nine, where they're potentially saying, yeah, do you know what, we're going to go with our top candidate, but we're also going to put in another guy who, if our top candidate does really well and successful and everything's brilliant and he goes off, that we're able to just plug in the next guy? Is that something they'd be thinking about?
Yeah. Ryan Poles has been known to play the long game. Like, my first reaction to that is like, that is a good problem to have. That means a lot of good things happen. That means Justin Fields played exceptionally. That means, again, for the other scenario, Caleb Williams was exceptional as a rookie. That means a lot of good things have happened. And I think the Bears, like, that's great. Like, you would welcome that news. That means good things have happened. You know, there were a lot of wins. You know, there's a quarterback to feel good about. Like, take that scenario and run with it. Let that be a good problem to have. But to your point, like, again, this is why I like the process so much. It's hiring, like, say Shane Waldron. Let's use this example. Shane Waldron comes in. Justin Fields plays exceptional. Shane Waldron goes on to be the head coach of, I don't know, throw out a team, New York Jets. You know, like, that happens because of his work with Justin Fields. That leaves an avenue for maybe a Greg Olsen or Thomas Brown if you're able to get them on the staff, too. If you're able to get them on board, like, they can be the successor to that, you know, the next one in order. But let's see it happen first. I've covered a lot of offensive coordinators coming. The last one to do that was like Luke Getsy and Adam Gase.
Adam Gase, yeah.
And he got that job. Think about this, guys. Like, he got that job in Miami because Jay Cutler had a 92.3 passer rating. 92.3. Career best. So, you know, if you can fix Jay Cutler and get, like, you got multiple head coaching opportunities.
So, basically what you're saying, if you get an above average offense in Chicago, you're getting a head coaching job.
Yeah, that's like, you know, you've worked the miracle. You can go work for the Jets and you can go work for the Dolphins. We're kidding, I know, but, you know, there's some truth to it. But, like, yes, let that be. If that scenario comes to fruition, that is reason for, like, for dancing up at Halasaw because something good happened in 2024.
Yeah, and look, one of the questions that constantly comes up, because obviously I think the bigger news recently was the whole Cliff Kingsbury one and how it relates to the looming decision at the quarterback position, right? And some people will say, oh, it might just be a fact-finding mission to kind of figure out some of the inside parts about Caleb Williams. But when it comes to that whole situation, where are you right now? Because there's a lot of people online that will say, oh, it's an easy decision one way or the other for Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. And we've kind of said it's actually a lot more complex because there's so many different scenarios that could happen. When you look at this going into the offseason this year, how difficult or complex of a decision do you think Ryan Poles has here? Because realistically, whatever he decides, he has to get it right, because it can either mean him being the general manager for the Bears for the next 10 to 15 years or him gone in 2 years. So I don't envy his choice because I like both guys. I know some people hate one or hate the other, but you looking at this coming in, the Bears for me have always been in this enviable position this year because there's teams out there, like we just heard from like Pittsburgh today, saying that they're going to be going with Kenny Pickett and then another backup to try and fix their position, right? You have the Bears being lucky that you can bring someone in to try and develop Justin, who has some traits that you just can't teach because of that athletic ability, but also the benefit of basically having a free shot because the team you traded with last year just gave you the number one overall pick.
If you're Ryan Poles, like, I believe he's very prepared for this. It's mm-hmm. not an easy decision. I think he wish it was. I think we all wish, in a sense, that it was, that Justin Fields took that next step, that a bunch of his individual statistics weren't in the bottom third of the league, that they were somewhere in the middle. Because then you can start talking yourself into thinking, like, okay, this is going to work. That everything they're saying in the locker room is true because there's tangible evidence. At the same time, you know, that didn't happen, you know? And at the same time, Ryan Poles built in this opportunity to pivot a year ago. Mm-hmm. Like, he was always going to give Justin Fields a chance in 2023. With better help. Debate the merits of that help, but DJ Moore, upgrade. Darnell Wright, upgrade. They tried with Nate Davis. Didn't seem to work out. But Cole Kmet, career year. I don't know why things don't work out with Darnell Mooney this year. That seems to be a longer story. But I think the Bears have convinced themselves that they did make some upgrades offensively. Now, what do you do with the quarterback? You do have to take into account what the locker room is saying. Part of the good vibes that the Bears are feeling is Justin Fields. He's their leader. He gives you all the intangibles that you want. You just need better production on the field. Now, with better coaching, better help, take him into the next tier quarterback. You can make a good argument for that. But what do you do with the first pick? Like, that's why you're talking to Cliff Kingsbury, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that there's intriguing reasons as a play caller, but there's also that 1 year he spent with
Caleb USC.
Like, yes, like you want to hear what he says about Caleb Williams, and you want to hear what he says about Justin Fields. You know, you might want his thoughts on Drake May. You know, like he was involved in college. Like, there's a lot of reasons to talk to Kingsbury beyond like what happened over his 4 years calling plays for Kyler Murray. Intriguing, like that one stands out. It just stands out just because of that connection. But like, it is such an intriguing cast of candidates because of like their history. Like, again, like the guys from the Panthers, because of what just happened with Bryce Young. Like, mm-hmm. where were they? Like, was there really a divide on CJ Stroud and Bryce Young in the organization? Like, where did you stand on that evaluation? There's so many things that the Bears are gaining right now by interviewing these candidates. Just a great process, I think, overall.
Can I ask a question on that, what you just said there a second ago about the locker room? Because it's something that's been annoying me for a while. Is the locker room, when it came to Flew staying, was a massive part. And it was very much stated that he the locker room didn't leave him, and that the locker room stayed with him, and that he was great. And even when things were going bad, the locker room never wavered. And that was seen as one of the main reasons why he was kept, especially with the results then turning around. And that was seen as a control in the locker room. Yeah, no, when it comes to Justin Fields, that when the locker room is speaking about him, I've seen comments from people say, well, that doesn't really matter. The players don't really care about that. The new quarterback will come in and they'll love him anyway, as long as he's good, la, 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 la. How important do you actually see the locker room for Justin Fields in the plus? I accept it's not going to be the only reason he stays, but if it's important for Flus, would it not also be seen as pretty important for Justin Fields?
Yeah, 100%. It does matter. You can't say that it doesn't, especially given that position. And I think recent history within this own regime will tell you how much trading away players like that, or getting rid of players like that, like what it can do to team morale, team chemistry, just the team outlook on how the organization is functioning. When the Bears traded Roquan Smith, that team was not the same in 2022. Like, he was the best player. He was their best player, and they traded him away for draft capital. Like, that did not sit well in that locker room. Like, eventually players came around to understand it. It is a business. And I think, like, you just listen to Jalen Johnson, like, there's been a number of players who've come around to the Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus way of doing things. And I think, like, completely ignoring what they have to say about Justin Fields would take maybe all that goodwill back. Does that make sense to you? Like,
yep.
You mm-hmm. have to take into account. So even if you're going to, like, make that move, you better call everybody in, no matter where they went. You know, from Carolina to Tennessee to my directions are off, but yeah, like, wherever they are, like, get them on Zoom or something, because that is something that has to be addressed right away, immediately. Trading away a quarterback, especially one who is beloved in that locker room for many reasons, like, that is something that has to be addressed ASAP if that's the course of action the Bears are taking.
With that being said, and before we let you go, obviously it's hard to know at this point, but with the Bears having that number one overall pick, do you think it's just going to come down to, I guess, some of the trade offers that they're going to get for him to make that decision? Or I know Ryan Poles mentioned that he has to be completely blown away by whether it's Caleb Williams, Drake May. If he is, do you still think he's going to have to weigh up whatever offer he's going to get? Because if another team is also blown away and they're still in that kind of top three or four and can potentially get a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. for Justin Fields that you believe could elevate his game, that's where I think a lot of people find it very difficult to know what they're going to do. When you look at that as kind of an overall decision for Ryan Poles, do you kind of have any inkling of maybe what might sway him one side or the other? Could it very much be just his evaluation of the quarterback, or could it be the strength of some of those trade offers that may come in?
Yeah, well, I guess just it would be your definition of blown away, because I think there's always variations in that. Like, you could be blown away, and then all of a sudden this trade offer comes in and you're like really blown away, you know, and then you look at your board again and like, well, you know what, like maybe we trade the first pick and we're still able to get a quarterback that we really really like who blew us away, you know, as well at 3 or 4 or 5, you know, like there are so many scenarios at play here. It kind of blows your mind, like even trading just feels like who comes to the table for that? Like, who visits Ryan Poles' suite in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium to talk trades about Justin Fields? Forget the first pick. Maybe someone really covets Justin Fields. Maybe that's who they want for their quarterback. And that's what blows away Ryan Poles. So there are so many scenarios. I've been trying to, like, write them down and hash them out, and I keep coming up with new ones. I can't even imagine what they're coming up with. It's just all vastly interesting because it's the most important position in sports, and it's the most problematic one for the Bears in their long storied history. Like, it's an amazing, unique opportunity that no GM in Bears history has really ever had. It's pretty remarkable. Like you could even trade, like here's a scenario, like you trade the first pick and you do this all over again in 2025 because that team you traded the first pick to now is the worst team, just like the Panthers. So a lot of things for Ryan Poles to sort out, that's for sure.
A lot for him to think about and a lot for us to talk about. That's the good part. But look, Adam, we really do appreciate your time today. It's been great. Do you have any kind of stories or stuff that you're coming up with over the next couple of days that you'd like people to kind of tune in for?
No, we got a column coming up on the offensive coordinators that should be live next week. And if I ever stop adding to the scenarios, maybe you'll read about them on The Athletic. You know, Hogan Johns is on next week. I'm looking forward to coming over there next year, by the way, guys.
Yes. We'll be there. We'll be there.
All right.
We're gonna look after you. All right. Even though it's London, we'll get you. We got some places. We're gonna look after you. So I'm gonna hold you to that.
100%. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I just gotta make sure to quarantine myself.
Don't get sick.
Yeah. I gotta get there one piece, guys.
Do
one
that. Piece. We'll meet you at the airport.
And then we'll do damage there.
100%. Absolutely, we will.
Yeah. All right, fellas.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Thanks for that, Adam. Take care.
Have a good one.
Thanks. Look, it's always great to have
a bit of breaking news there. Where's your breaking news?
Why, what happened? They
got Raiders just officially signed Pierce as their head coach.
Ah, that's not Bears breaking news. Doesn't matter.
It's still breaking news. Pretty decent. Good on him. I'm delighted for him. Genuinely.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's. I think that one seemed like it was going to happen because he was just, again, all the players wanted him. They advocated for him and they ended up getting him. And look, some really interesting points that Adam made there, especially as it pertains to the offensive coordinator, some of the other scenarios that come in. That, look, this is what we've been saying for the last while, that it's not just Justin Fields versus Caleb Williams. There's so many other scenarios here. Like, they could get an offer for number one, right? And it could be brilliant. But then suddenly, if someone in the top 10 decides, oh, we really want Justin Fields because we're not going to get a quarterback and they offer you, well, then you have to weigh that up and you can talk about Caleb Williams. And that's where this becomes quite difficult. And that's why I like what they're doing in the coaching search, that they aren't just going for like three candidates and then that's it. That they're going to different aspects, right? And they're like, you've seen Greg Roman, people lost their shit about Greg Roman. Then you looked at Cliff Kingsbury, and look, I'll be honest, if they had the choice of all the guys that were there and all of them were willing to accept, Cliff Kingsbury would not be the first name on my list because he usually has a good first year in terms of his offensive play calling and then it dwindles down and gets worse. And that's my worry for him. And also, if you wanted to build a staff like Adam was saying, where, and I think I mentioned this as more of a joke on Twitter, where if they brought in Shane Waldron, getting in Thomas Brown as like your run game coordinator or assistant head coach or something like that, if Zach Robinson wanted to come in at a bigger level than just QB coach, for example, and you're able to bring in multiple guys here that fit in the same system, I think I'd prefer that. And that's why I've always kind of been at the same level where I think Shane Waldron is my number one option. But the fact that they're talking to him, and I think it is important that they're going to LA to meet with Cliff Kingsbury, because they could have really said, if you want to be the OC, we'll do it via Zoom.
Can I say something on that, right? Ryan Poles could be a very good poker player. Right? Mm-hmm. This could be a scenario where he wants to get in the sun. That's what Adam said. And he sees this as, you know what, nothing else is happening, but it would look really interesting. It would look like I'm taking Williams at one. And therefore, if somebody is putting in a bid for Williams, they now know they have to really convince me to come out of that scenario. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. Also, by the way, this is just a thing for me. It's not just one quarterback in this draft. There isn't just one. There's more than Williams. There really is. And Williams looks like a superstar player, but don't underestimate Drake May. Don't underestimate Daniels. I really think there's something about them. And I don't believe that a decision's been made on the... Ryan Poles may have a decision made on he's going to move on from Justin. He may have that decision made, right? If he has, I don't think he's made a guarantee he's going to definitely go with Caleb Williams. I think the assumption is there that he's going to go with Caleb Williams. But he may look at it and go, do you know what? If I go 1-2... and I get a boatload off Washington because they think I'm going to be going with Caleb Williams and they want Caleb Williams, drop 1-2, and then I pick up Drake May, and then I trade Justin Fields and I get another bit of panic move from, let's say, Atlanta, for example. Then it becomes a different conversation. I wanted to just throw that in there.
No, but I think you're right, Anthony. I think that kind of shows how that deal last year was so good, because the Bears have so many scenarios now. There are options, as you say, there's multiple quarterbacks there if that's the way they decide to go, or trading back. You know, they have this, you know, this number one draft pick with this quarterback class that people think is the best in a long time. So the Bears, no matter what way you look at it, whether they stick with Fields and trade or whether they go for a number one quarterback or a quarterback at a different point of the draft, they have so many, like, it's positive. It's all positive for Ryan Poles. Yes. On one hand, I don't envy him having to make that decision. And on the other hand, I really envy him having the scenario that he can come into, whichever one he kind of wants. And I do agree with Chance. I know we've said it a few times before. I think they know right now whether or not Justin Fields is their quarterback next year. I think they know that. I think they've seen him enough to know either way. But I do agree that I don't think they know who will be replacing them if they are going for a quarterback. And there's still a lot of time there and a lot of work to be done. And because there's so many options, that's the great thing. Like, either way, the future looks positive for this Bears team. And as Kieran was talking about, you know, the guys they have for the offensive coordinator job they brought in to interview, you know, they all have a very similar kind of, they all work with the same system and they're all kind of similar guys, the majority of them. And they could be putting building blocks in place for years to come. A good foundation, as you were talking about earlier, and could they be bringing someone in at a certain level now, looking at this guy taking that step up down the road? And it just feels like it's a long time since I've watched the Bears do their work off the field and be really confident and think, you know what, it looks like they know what they're doing. It looks like they have a plan, and they have so many aces in the hand at the moment that I've no idea what's going to happen, but for good reasons, because there are so many good scenarios. I have no idea which way it's going to go, and it's great, and it genuinely should make this offseason brilliant. No matter, look, down the road, if it all pans out, we'll find out. But for here and now, like, it really is a great off season to be a Bears fan, because there's just so much to kind of look at and kind of sift through.
In all seriousness, imagine they, jokes aside now, imagine they went kind of like an experienced quarterback in the free agency. Like, went out and got Kirk Cousins or something. Imagine the meltdown, the absolute meltdown across Twitter. I think the place would explode. It would be beyond bonkers, because everyone would go on complete fork. Tinfoil hat conspiracy theories. It'd be great, crack.
Yeah, like I think when it comes down to the quarterbacks, and look, obviously this is one of the main storylines that's going to continue. I think if the decision is that they were moving on for Justin Fields, I think that's where they would know that already. But when you listen to kind of what Ryan Poles said before about when he scouted Patrick Mahomes with the Kansas City Chiefs, and a lot of people were talking about, oh, he throws all these interceptions, he makes this mistake, his footwork on this isn't that good. But what he looked at is what he can do. And I think that's what he's going to compare with some of these guys. What can Justin Fields do versus what people say he can't do? kind of new offensive system fix some of those errors that he has been making, right? In terms of whether it's some of his reads and some of, again, it can depend on, like, I've said this, I wouldn't want to put any of the rookie quarterbacks in a position that we put Justin Fields in, right? So that's where you have to be fair in that scenario. I think it's probably likely they move on basically because they have the number one overall pick, and it is a great opportunity. I think in terms of when we look at the three guys that are, I actually think that there will be three quarterbacks picked within the top five or six of the draft this year. And yep. I know, and from the very beginning, you've been a big fan of Jaden Daniels. I think he'll probably, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in, if the Bears go quarterback, I think it could be quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And that's where it becomes very, very interesting. And that's where the comparisons will continue for years and years and years. But I think where it's looking at now is if the Bears do go at one, it's, I would say it's most likely going to be Caleb Williams over the other guys, purely because if you're bringing in some of these offensive coordinators here and we're saying it fits this, it would fit Justin Fields' skill set, I think it'll be very similar to what you can get from Caleb Williams. Rather than if you were bringing in Drake May, it would fit Jaden Daniels as well, to be fair. But like with Drake May, he's a little bit different. I think if they brought in someone like Greg Roman or something like that, well, then maybe you might change that stance as well. But I think it's an interesting one just because it's going to be hard to decipher what they're going to do because there's so many scenarios. And we might hear some other things once the combine in Indy happens, because that's when these general managers properly get to talk to each other. And that's when the DJ Moore trade went down basically last year. Now the trade might not get finalized, whether it's a trade for Justin or a trade for the number one pick until closer to the draft. But I think it's interesting to see kind of the process that goes with what Poles is doing right now in terms of the offensive coordinator search. And it kind of gives you an insight of his process will probably be quite extensive for the draft. I think for when he's picking his quarterback, he has to be careful. And that's what I've said to Adam. This decision that will loom over Ryan Poles will determine his future in the National Football League. If he gets it right, he's the Bears general manager for the next 15 years, right? If he gets it wrong, whether, let's say, he trades Justin Fields and picks Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams isn't that superstar, and Justin Fields goes somewhere else in a better offense that suits his skill set, and suddenly he becomes a franchise type quarterback or a really successful quarterback in the league, he's gone, right? And that's the problem. Same sort of thing is if you keep Justin Fields, you bring in this new system and it looks very similar to what we've seen from Justin, and then you trade the number one pick, whoever trades up picks whoever, Caleb Williams or Drake May, and then suddenly they become a superstar, he's fired. And that's where this is actually, it's a difficult decision for Ryan Poles to be in, but I would much rather have that decision if I was the GM than being in the shoes of the Atlanta Falcons, the Panthers. At least they've got their young guy. Like, they would hope that they can build around Bryce Young. But when you look at teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you have three or four quarterbacks, you don't have one. And that's the issue with a lot of these teams. And I think that's where, even though we all kind of disagree a lot of the time on who the Bears should go for, they're actually in a great position to where whoever Ryan Poles wants, he can get. He doesn't have to do any of this trading up. He doesn't have to convince himself of anything. He has the number one overall pick. He has a quarterback that at least he has shown that he does like, to an extent that he didn't go and pick Bryce Young last year when that could have been an easy solution for him. He could have been like, oh, I'm a new GM, I want my own guy, let's trade away Justin, let's pick Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. He didn't do that. He went and he tried to build more around because he knew the roster was so bad. So he tried to make that better. Now, the question he's going to have to ask himself is, now that I have the number one pick again and I'm hoping I'm never in this position again if I don't trade back and if it's just our picks because I want to start getting to the playoffs, this could be the one opportunity that he does get to make his decision. Because if he sticks with Justin Fields after this year, that's his decision. He's going to have to stick with that long term. And that's where this gets a little, well, I guess it depends on kind of if they make a trade or whatever. But that's where it's a complex decision. And That's where I don't get when people online will say they have to go with Caleb Williams or he has to stick with Justin and he has to build around him. This isn't easy. Adam mentioned it himself. He's going through so many different scenarios that can happen here. And that's where I think a lot of this that we're talking about here in terms of building the Bears moving forward, and a lot of it is the offensive side. It starts with getting this coaching hire correct on the offensive side. And from there, that's when he has to be able to make a decision of, is it Caleb Williams? Is it Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? Or is it Justin Fields? And that we're at the starting point, I think, of this. And it's going to be very interesting to see where the Bears go and what direction Ryan Pohl sees this team.
Yeah, but I love Bruja's comment here, because this is what I've been saying all along. Regardless of what moves he makes, if we don't win 10 games and make the playoffs, it won't matter. And because what I've been hearing online is from both sides is like, oh, if Caleb Williams came in, you got to remember he's a rookie and, you know, rookie errors. And he's going to be, if we win 5 games next year, 6 games with Joe developmental. No.
He's got to win.
He's got to win, because not only is this team, we were 47-6 away from being 10-win season. We weren't a 10-win team, but we were 47-6 away from it. Second of all, with that, we now have more money to spend on players. And again, so the likelihood is that we end up being able to go out and get players in certain spots that we can really improve the team on. And for me, that's the big part of this, is that whoever the quarterback coming in is, so whoever that is, whether that's a rookie quarterback, whether that's Justin Fields continuing on, the goal has to be that we need to win 10 games. And if it's not 10 games challenging for the division, then that's not a mistake. That's not a good season. So I don't want to hear it from either camp. Like, if Justin Fields comes in, that's a minimum for Justin Fields' team. If he's the quarterback next year, we should be minimum winning 10 games. It's his system, it's his scheme. I don't want to hear about new offensive coordinator. Don't want to hear about any of that. If it's a new rookie quarterback, I don't want to hear the fact he's a rookie quarterback, because he's coming into what? The number one pick. This is probably the best number one pick slot that a rookie would come into in years. Like, I can't even remember another one. It's something that is definitely there. Like, the goal of this team, and Illinois Jones rightly says it as well, the goal is to win the NFC North, and that has to be there next year. Seth, my man, how are you?
How are you doing, Seth?
I am good. How are you guys?
Oh, good. Gosh.
What do you think?
I think they should take J.J. McCarthy and – no, I'm just kidding.
Wow. All right, see you later, Seth.
Appreciate your contribution, my man.
Seth, you should have left it going a few more seconds. The chat would have just been exploded, beautiful to read.
Exploded. I mean, we could do worse. But no, I agree with you on the. I mean, I don't think it's super fair to like completely say, if, you know, if Caleb's the number one guy and he comes in and isn't perfect, murder him. But the expectations will be astronomical because of where the defense is, the, you know, wide receivers, and then ultimately what they do in free agency and pick number 9. So yeah, absolutely on that front. And as for the offensive coordinator thing, I am on the Clint Kubiak train at this point in time. Although I don't think you can go wrong with Shane Waldron or Clint, especially because if you look at what Geno Smith did the 6 years prior to being in Seattle and what he did in those years in Seattle, it's not as though Geno's always been a top level guy and just needed that extra push. He was terrible for a long time, and then all of a sudden was putting up, you know, 4,000 yards and multiple touchdowns.
Yeah, like I think if we kind of look at for the last like 15 minutes or so of the show here, I think the OC is the big question, right? Like, this little series that we'll be having going on throughout the offseason, in terms of building the Chicago Bears, the first step of this is getting this offensive coordinator right. And I like that they've gone out, they've spoken to Kingsbury, they've spoken to Greg Roman, they brought in other guys within that tree for like the Sean McVay tree and stuff like that, which, look, I think you look at even Clint Kubiak and you look also at Shane Waldron, who I would imagine are the top two candidates here. I'd say that, like, you can build a pretty good staff if some of those guys that have come in are that you've interviewed for an offensive coordinator job, like, realistically, it may be put out there as an offensive coordinator job, but really they're trying to get them on the staff as well. that's going to be interesting. Like, I know a lot of people were killing Thomas Brown because he was the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. But like at the end of the day, like that team sucked. Like, what are you going to do as the OC? Like, you Frank Reich calling the plays at the beginning of the year. Then you have all of the, like we said it ourselves, why we are so happy with trading for, with the Carolina Panthers, because they had no talent around Bryce Young. So he'd be a guy that I'd like to see kind of come in. Like, he was an assistant head coach for Sean McVay. You don't get to that level if you aren't a talented coach. Now, that's where I would like to see this kind of go, where they bring someone in, one of those options. Let's say it is Shane Waldron, kind of like Adam Johns mentioned. Bring in other guys that you've interviewed as. One you can put as an assistant head coach and passing game coordinator. If you get a running game coordinator, you get a running backs coach, a quarterback coach. And kind of your question, Ant, in terms of if somebody left, that you've put people in that you would have been happy with if you hired them for the offensive coordinator, but you're actually able to add them onto the staff. And then you can elevate those guys. And it continues. And that if you've picked Drake May, or you've picked Caleb Williams, or you've stuck with Justin Fields, there's not this whole pressure then next year of if it does go well, that, oh, we have to start all over again. That there's guys that you've already interviewed that you would be happy with that could be that head guy. But it just so happens that you've been able to build a really good staff. And a lot of the rumors and a lot of kind of not people coming out and saying it per se, but little inklings from people that are kind of closer to the situation than we are, said that's kind of what the Bears are hoping to do. And that's where it'll be very, very interesting as kind of we move on from here. But look, I guess, Noel, and we spoke last week kind of about some of the, I guess, the early contenders like the Shane Waldrons, the Clint Kubiaks. But we asked Adam this question, but what was your opinion of some of the guys we heard that got mentioned today? Like, I know, Noel, you're not a fan of guys that haven't had experience in terms of calling plays. So like Zach Robinson coming in here, he hasn't called plays before. Obviously you've Cliff Kingsbury who has, but when you look at a guy like Zach Robinson who's been getting a load of interviews, how would you feel if he was someone that the Bears ended up picking? Because I know when we first spoke about this, that was one of your things that you don't want to see happen. You don't want to see a guy come in here, even if it's this young up-and-coming guy that's really popular in the league, if they haven't had that experience of calling plays, you wouldn't really be a big fan of that kind of moving forward as the OC for the Bears.
Yeah, no, for me, I just think it's too important. You know, obviously we've been through it with Fields. He was a young player at a certain point in his career, brought in a defensive head coach, so you just hope that offensive coordinator can come in and kind of help him develop. Now, that's not to say, obviously, a young, you know, new OC can't do that, who hasn't called plays, but I just felt experience in a situation like that was beneficial to that young quarterback to try and guide him through. And I feel the same now, even with Justin Fields, because he still hasn't, for me, got the right kind of coaching. So if it is Fields, I still want that OC with experience to come in and to be able to kind of lead him through a bit, even if it's not a huge amount. I think Waldron is probably among my favorites for it. And he hasn't got a massive amount of experience as a play caller, but he still has enough, as you guys talked about, you know, what he's done there with Geno Smith and stuff. So I still think it's important. I know Adam Johns mentioned it as something that is vital. And I think we've just done it before with the first-time play callers and young quarterbacks in Nagy, in Getsy, and it hasn't worked. And I just think it is something that will benefit. And if it's Caleb Williams, you know, we don't want to see another Justin Fields scenario or Trubisky scenario where we feel like we've taken another good promising quarterback and he's been let down. It's not that he wasn't good enough, it's that he was let down by the people who really should have been entrusted to help him take that next step. So I think you mentioned Robinson there, wasn't it? Is like looking at him from there, he actually does seem really, really well regarded in the league, being the Rams there and stuff. And look, if they bring him in, you have to trust that Ryan Poles, as we've said, this is a massive decision for him. So he's going to do what's right for him going forward and this team. So if they bring him in, that's great. But I would more prefer what Ant was talking about. If he is that highly touted and if he does want to come to Chicago because he feels like there's something starting to build here, that he comes in at a lower level, maybe he works with the players. And then if he needs to take a step up at some point, at least he will know the squad. He will have worked with the certain, but you know, whoever the quarterback is, Caleb Williams, Justin Fields, or whomever, you know, he will have experience working with them. They'll know each other. And I think that's an easier step up to working with the team. Now, you still don't know what his play call is going to be like, but, you know, everyone has to call the first play at some point. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But at least you'll feel like there's a familiarity there with the players. That might be an easier kind of settling in as an OC. So that's the way I'd like to see it if the options are there. But again, look, Ryan Poles, I trust 99% of what he's done as the Bears GM. And I think whatever way he goes, they'll think it's for the best. And look, they'll forget. They've forgotten more about football today than I'll ever know. So who am I to question whatever way they go at the end of the day?
Can I play devil's advocate on that, right? And just to be argument, Ryan Poles is... why not? Ryan Poles' coordinator picks haven't been great. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. No,
so he... And gets who are, what do you say? It's the head coach. What do you say? It's the GM. Their picks have not been great. The defensive coordinator, there's been another coach who was dismissed halfway through the season. He was fired, should have been fired a lot earlier. They didn't, they held on to it, then fired him at the end of the season. That could have cost him a playoff place, for argument's sake. There's other issues that are there. So I'm a big Ryan Poles supporter, but he needs to get this right. Because their history is not on his favor of taking these new guys that come in that look nice. We've all been down this road before with the shiny guy like Robinson, with Getsy, and everyone's talking about how Getsy was brilliant. And then you had a conversation then with Nagy because he worked in Kansas City, and you see how Nagy has gone since he's gone back to Kansas City, just to show that. But again, for me, it's got to be somebody with play calling experience. It's got to be somebody who understands the league and understands the pressure moments. Because for me, Getsy, let's be honest, Getsy, when it was the first drive, was great. The first drive, Getsy was all fine. When he scripted it up beforehand and they knew what they were doing, he was decent, right? It was when the other team decided, you know what, we know what you're going to do, so we're gonna put a little bit more pressure. He hadn't a clue.
Well, he had no feel for the game at all. No, his play calling was choppy. Like, there was just no feeling for the flow of how a game was going.
But that came from experience.
That's the risk you take with a first-time play caller.
Exactly, because you've no idea. You've nothing to go back on. Like Kieran rightly said, that Cliff, right, has a great example that we know what he's like in Arizona, because it went really, really hot and then really, really cold. So when you're interviewing him, that's one of the questions you ask, that what happened in Arizona that resulted in that. You don't have that with new play callers. And again, I go back to it, Ryan Poles has done a lot of things right, but not when it comes to picking coordinators.
Yeah, look, and I definitely understand that point of view, because I think this is a big one, right? Like, he has to get this right, like, this offseason in terms of the coaching, but also the quarterback position. Like, it's just one of those where they can't afford to get the decisions wrong. And we mentioned it before, the expectation is that they have to win. And the only way they're going to win is if the head or the offensive coordinator is the right one, and also that they pick the right quarterback. So look, to finish off today, like the main one, we all have our favorite, we all have our favorite candidates. Like, obviously you mentioned Clint Kubiak. I think I've said Shane Waldron would be mine. But of the nine guys, because I don't think there's going to be much more than what it is now, I'd say this list of nine is probably it at this point. Is there, and I'm going to open this up to all you guys, is there any of the candidates that currently they have interviewed that if they did hire, that you would be really pessimistic about that first decision this offseason? Because like we said, this whole thing is about kind of building this team and moving it forward to try and make the playoffs. And that's what we're doing kind of on this video series, to see what the Bears should be doing in order to get to that point, and then we'll discuss what they actually do when it happens. But is there anybody, and look, Seth, I'll start with you, then Noel, and then Ant, you can finish it off before we'll round out the show today. Is there any of those names that if they hired that you would be completely against, and you would be very worried about some of the decisions that could be made further down the line this offseason? So Seth, I'll start with yourself.
I probably would err towards if they straight up made Zach Robinson the OC, but of the people that seem most likely for OC, Greg Roman would probably be the one that would make me the most apprehensive, just because it seems as though in terms of developing passing quarterbacks, that's not his forte. Every quarterback that has left him the year after has statistically done better, whether that's Alex Smith. You know, I mean, he benefited from going to Andy Reid, but his passing stats got better when he left Lamar. Lamar's passing stats got better. And, you know, it's not as though we need help running the ball. That's not an issue. Yes, he probably could design, if you were to keep Fields, better schematic things in terms of Fields running the ball, but it's not as though running the ball is our problem. It's passing the ball. And bringing in somebody like that, you know, it seems like it would be a step backwards. Like, it makes sense if you were changing head coaches and, say, bringing somebody like Harbaugh in because he has the tie to, you know, to Roman. But I think that would be the one that would make me the most nervous, outside of, you know, another first-time play caller.
And Noel, what about yourself? Which one would make you kind of the most, I guess, apprehensive of if we found out tomorrow said person was the new OC for the Bears?
I don't normally like copying people's homework, but I'm going to copy Seth's there. It's Greg Roman. It jumps right out at me. Like, for everything Seth said, you know, you have a player like DJ Moore there, who I think we underused for a lot at the start of the season, although he's still built it up and hit record numbers. I think he would virtually not disappear, but he would virtually be, it wouldn't be even like last season for him, you know, with the scheme that Greg Roman plays. I just think that we feel like this Bears team is building and going forward, and I don't think that's a forward step if you bring in someone like him. He stands out to me looking at all the kind of candidates. He just sticks out as not being like the other candidates, if you know what I mean. He feels like he doesn't belong in that kind of group for me. And yeah, I couldn't have it. And Seth mentioned, well, like, Robinson would worry me in that, and any of the guys with very little to no play calling experience. Yeah, but it is Greg Roman. So Seth, apologies for copying you, but you know,
I was going to copy the two of them, but I said I better be involved with something else.
Only one probably, of us can copy, Ant.
I know, yeah. I was going to say something else. I stopped myself. Olsen is probably the one that was worrying me a little bit, just purely because I just think, again, it's whether the play calling is to the standard you want. It's a little bit of a risk. Him coming in behind Waldron makes more sense. It almost feels like you didn't get Waldron because he said no to you, and you went with his mate then instead. And I think that's the fear I have realistically is whoever that head coach in. For me, what I want in my offensive coordinator is not to be liked. I want us to go away from being this nice group that everyone gets on with and everyone's funny. I still haven't got over the fact that the day after we beat the Packers, they were all dancing and joking in the locker room and having a great time clearing out their locker as if they were out because they were going off to on holidays to Disneyland or whatever. I still haven't got over that. I think that's not acceptable for me. We're on what, a 10-game losing streak to them. So I want somebody to go in there and start calling people out. And I just think that's what I want in my offensive coordinator, because it's not going to come from a head coach, because that guy couldn't call out anybody. So for me, we need an offensive coordinator who's going to really kind of call the players accountable and hold them accountable to it. And the only one that seemed to be accountable last year was Chase Claypool. Everyone else seemed to get a free ride. And I think that's not acceptable to me. And I want my offensive coordinator to make sure that his stamp is authority on that whole offensive side of the football.
Yeah, I think for me, it's on two levels, right? Like, I even though people like Greg Roman on one side and people like Cliff Kingsbury on another, for two completely different reasons, I think it's the whole quarterback debate. I want to stick with the kind of the guy that you look at as we were talking with him as a potential head coaching candidate for the Bears earlier on in the season. That's Shane Waldron. I think that's the one that makes sense. I think I'd be a little bit perturbed if it was Greg Roman or Cliff Kingsbury, because I don't think that they're going to be. That's not a decision to where you're going to bring in a bunch of these guys that we've been looking at to build out an entire staff, because I think that's really important. It's not just going to be the OC. Obviously, he's the one that's going to have to call the plays and stuff like that, but they need to do what they did on defense, and they brought in multiple coaches that could help with the scheme that Eberflus was able to run. And that's what I want to see at the offensive coordinator position. And it's why I've been so positive about a lot of these guys they brought in. Like, when you talk about, yeah, look, Zach Robinson, I don't think he's going to be the OC. I think they might try and get him in for another role if they can. same thing for like Liam Cohen, who's one of the OCs in Kentucky. But like the thing is, there's still a power struggle there on who's going to call the plays there. So like if you brought in Shane Waldron, maybe Thomas Brown's like, I'm getting out of Carolina and I'm going to go into a different situation here. He'd be a great one to add in. If you brought in a Liam Cohen, who's been in that system before under Sean McVay, you mentioned it, Greg Olsen as well, who's also been in the system under Sean McVay, or has at least coached with him. I know he's kind of coached for much longer, like 20 plus years, but I want to see whoever gets brought in as the OC, that a lot of the other coaches that get brought in are kind of under that same style. So if it's Clint Kubiak, I want to see more him and guys that also will fit his system, because I don't think this is just about one coach. I think this needs to be a full staff, because if the plan is that Eberflus is this CEO head coach, you've got to make sure that your coaching staff is great, because that's where the CEO head coaches work, because they're able to let their coordinators work there and it's still successful. If you're a head coach that has to be involved in absolutely everything, well, really, you're not a CEO head coach then. And that's what we've been sold from the Bears. That's what they want us to believe about Matt Eberflus. So if you're going to do that, you need to make sure you bring in those coaches. And that's where I think this is like the first step of all this. If they want to build this correctly, they need to make sure that this offensive coordinator hire is right. They need to make sure the defensive coordinator one is right as well. We will speak about that probably once the offensive coordinator is hired, because there's been nothing that's actually been out there on that yet. I think we'll probably hear about it once they fix the OC side of things.
They give it to Phil Snow. They give it to Snow.
Yeah, but they'll still need to hire some other guys.
I wouldn't rule out Dave Bergonzi, especially being the DC at the Shrine Bowl. Like, they could still keep Phil Snow on as a consultant, because why would he not just collect a paycheck to be there throughout the week and then do? But like, Dave makes a ton of sense because he is younger and, you know, could stand to earn some, you know, his play calling experience or whatever it may be. And he's been a guy who's been with Flus for 4 years now, something like that. I could see him giving him a chance.
He won't play call though. It'll be Flus.
Yeah, you think Flus will keep?
I don't think he'll play call unless the first few weeks are bad. But we've seen Flus give up play calling before. It's just he took it back over when things were going completely awry.
I think the only way Flus gives up play calling is if someone like Leslie Frazier or something comes in that's done it a million times before, that has had good defenses in the league. I think that's the only way that happens. But look, that's where we're at in terms of this first step. Obviously, we'll be talking much more about, obviously, there's a lot going on in the NFL world. Obviously, I think it's the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Bowl is going to be coming up pretty soon. So we'll slowly start to begin looking at some of the prospects. There's been a bunch that have already met with the Bears from the Hula Bowl that kind of got reported, and some interesting names out there. So we'll talk a little bit about those guys in the coming weeks. We'll also talk about, as we get closer to free agency, some of the guys that we would like to see come to the Bears. And those will be all kind of put into this little series that we're working on here, where we're just going to be looking at how we would like this team to be able to build up into being that playoff contender. So look, we appreciate all you guys in the comments joining us today. It's been really good. We also very appreciative of Adam Johns joining us today, because it's always good to have his perspective on things. Yes, if you haven't subscribed already, please do subscribe. Please do follow us over on Twitter. If you want to listen back to us over on Spotify, you can do that as well. Like the video, and until next time, all we can say is bear down.
Bear down.